Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. It is about a minute past the hour on this, the 13th day of June, 2013. This is the 13th day of June, 2016. Damn it, I've been time traveling again. Ay. See what the weekends do. See what these kind of weekends do to me.
Welcome back home, Bob.
Thank you, dearest.
You were gone a long, long time, weren't you?
Yeah, I was all the way back to 2013.
Mr. Peabody and Sherman were along on the ride.
Yeah. It's the 13th day of June, 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And, of course, that's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room, already filling up for this Moran Monday, where you will be met at present by none other than the likes of Anatole, Golden Thunder, Labor Man, Little Gray, and, of course, longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky. Hoghead just entered the room. Longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space today to become Man Cave. Yes. And longtime not... not quite so inveterate, not quite so indefatigable chat room moderator Texas Betsy is in the room as well. Yes. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. That there might have been a little bit of a giveaway in the you were gone a long time Bob part of the program there a couple of minutes ago, courtesy of Agnes Viking Warrior Princess. God almighty. Let's get this out of the way. This is a listener-supported program. We rely on listener support in order to keep this all going, keep the bills paid, the packets passing, et cetera. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy in Vermont, noting loud and clear on TuneIn, Bob. Much appreciated, Jeremy. We don't have any ads. No, sorry. We don't have any Bose Wave radios to sell you or any vacuum cleaners that pick up bowling balls and drop them again on you as you recline upon your Swedish mattress made of foam developed by NASA, where you lie prone waiting for your herbal hair growth remedy capsules to kick in. No, we don't. We don't have any ads encouraging you to buy gold now. We don't. All we have is your determination that this little broadcast effort continue unabated, unabatedly. Yes. And that means we've got a little contribute tab over at headonradionetwork.com. It sits there waiting for a visit from you. And all you got to do is fill out, you know, your name and all the pertinent information except the part about, you know, where you work and what you do. And just get to the next screen, and that's where all the credit card stuff and the PayPal stuff and everything takes place. Just get to the next screen. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, well, you can always send checks and money orders made payable to The Horn to, curiously enough, The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV 25801. Yes. Sorry, Marty. We don't sell, not only do we not sell Bose Wave radios or Bose anything, we don't sell Beats anything or Sony anything or Audio Technica or AKG or Sennheiser or Stax or JBL Harman Kardon. Man, that's a whole bunch of unpaid product placement. Yeah, I know. We try to raise $200 an evening. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 12, 50, 32 at 6 and a quarter, or 64 at $3.13, because we round up that last halfpenny from 12.5. Okay? Yes. So there we go. I guess we've got that taken care of. This is about as close to upbeat as I'm probably going to get this evening. Thank you. Thank you, Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions. The dulcet tones of the Viking warrior princess. What a lovely Monday treat. And I couldn't agree more. You know, I left here on Friday. I was in Charleston Friday night. And most of Saturday, got home. God, I wound up getting home about 11 o'clock Saturday night. And it was a booger of a weekend. I got to tell you, I was trying to be as cheap and Scots as possible. So I stayed in a Motel 6, which I have decided... Ah, that's true. Jeremy in Vermont saying, wait, we also don't sell poison Bella Wood products either. Twoo. I was trying to be as Scots as possible, so I opted for the Motel 6, which I decided should probably be properly renamed the Methtel 6. It's been a long time since I've been in a motel room that didn't actually have carpet on the floor. But I suppose the cheap, smooth linoleum makes, you know, cleaning up whatever it, a lot easier. Right, yes. And I can tell you this, while Motel 6 says they'll leave the light on for you, if it comes to a pass that you need to, you know, dry your hair, you're on your own, bub. Mm-hmm. For $65 a night, you do not get a hairdryer at Methtel 6. There's no carpet on the floor, Tim from LA, at this Methtel 6 in Kanawha City. Neither is there carpet on the walls or the ceiling. Just kind of happy there weren't mirrors on the ceiling either, and there was no Magic Fingers Vibra bed either. But you know what? The air conditioning worked, and that was okay, and the plumbing worked, and so didn't want to spend a lot of time there in the first place. But I was there for the Democratic West Virginia State Democratic Convention, and as I returned home late Saturday night, and all through I was planning on making this Moran Monday. I don't know, Hoghead. The Night's Inn's maybe $10 cheaper. Hoghead said Night's Inn is much cheaper. I usually go with a quality or something like that because I got their rewards points. But they the cheapest anything Choice Hotels had in the Charleston area was like $125, and that was not going to happen. Carpet on the floor or no carpet on the floor. I was planning on this Moran Monday being a nomination of, by way of a description of what the West Virginia State Democratic Convention was like. It was probably going to be the filibobster for Moran Monday, because this is Moran Monday, right? Well, that all went to hell pretty quick, because the National Rifle Association's roulette wheel o' death spun and spun, and as it clicked, and hey, landed on Orlando, Florida. I'm not joking. I'm not trying to be cute. Oh, by the way, a program note for tonight. I think we'll carry the program through about 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Then I'll shut down. Why? Because at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'll be filling in for Mike Malloy. He and Kathy and Molly are on their way back from New York City, where Molly made her triumphant debut as part of a choral ensemble at Carnegie Hall. You know, how do I get to Carnegie Hall? Practice. Well, Molly practiced, and she got to Carnegie Hall. Mike and Kathy posted some proud parent pictures. I think one of them said, "We're so proud we could just spit." And I understand that. I understand that feeling. At 9 o'clock, I'll be doing my dead level best to fill in for Mike and Kathy. They will, of course, be back in the regular time slot come tomorrow. So there's a couple of things that I have to do to get things going. So we'll knock off here around 8 p.m. this evening. I guess I could go ahead and tell you, because I know what's on your mind. You know what's on my mind. It's fucking inescapable. I'm sorry. I try not to use that word so much because it's hurtful to some people. Yes, Tim. Bob said his name a long time ago. Now, what's on our minds this evening? Oh, let's see. Where was I? There's no harm in telling you what went on down in Charleston. It was one of those Dickensian moments. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. As you know, Bernie Sanders defeated Hillary Clinton in the Democratic primary here by some 15 percentage points. And so the assembled delegates sort of reflected that. And the delegates arrived in Charleston with a plan to advance a decidedly progressive state Democratic Party platform. As far as the delegate count goes, we have three congressional districts here, very nearly two-thirds of the districts of the delegates going to Philadelphia will be Bernie supporters. So that's a good thing. But there was more than a little bit of drama on the horizon. And the reason I relate all of this is because there's a value to understanding that political change does not happen at the top. Leaders lead parades, but the hard work gets done by the grunts in the trenches. And West Virginia is no different from anywhere else in that regard. So we gathered together Friday evening about 6:30. And we had a little bit of rah-rah, and we took care of a little business, and we heard from a young man who seems really quite competent and inspiring, a fellow named Doug Reynolds, who is running for Attorney General to replace the guy he referred to as pill-pushing Patrick Morrissey, Patrick Morrissey being the single greatest embarrassment the Office of Attorney General has hosted in the entire long history of the state of West Virginia. And we did a little bit of business. We broke into our respective districts and voted for who would be the delegates to go to Philadelphia, and then knocked off for the night. Things started back up at 9:30 Saturday morning. This is where the wheels left the rails. Saturday was to be taken up with the real business of the convention, which was namely the platform. While not too awfully far away, the state executive committee was going to go about the business of electing a party chair for the next year or four, depending on how one interpreted the rules. Boss Man Wayne, you will be pleased to know, is a member of the West Virginia State Executive Committee, and he, Democratic Executive Committee, and he was in that meeting, and it was nasty. And so when it came time to get down to doing the actual work that the convention was called to do, namely the platform and the leadership issues and passing some resolutions, well, there are learning curves. We did not realize that we had been screwed, blued, and tattooed until the screwing, bluing, and tattooing was well underway. First off, again, the business of the convention was to pass a platform and some resolutions. Therefore, the old guard, and remember, when we're talking about the West Virginia Democratic Party old guard, we're talking about a group that is clasped in the velvet-lined iron fist of one Joe Manchin, who, if he is a if he really is a Democrat, I'm Neptune, the king of the undersea realm. Trust me, I'm not Neptune. So instead of arriving, gaveling to order, and getting to work on the platform, what happened? Well, they brought in all the statewide elected officials and one candidate for a statewide office to hoorah the assembled delegates who needed no hoorahing. Natalie Tennant, the Secretary of State of West Virginia, who ran a brilliant Republican light campaign against Shelley Moore Capito for the Senate seat vacated by Jay Rockefeller, hoorahed the office for a while and talked about how awesome it is to be a West Virginian and be raised on the farm and how we loves our coal. And then we got hoorahed by the Commissioner of Agriculture, Walt Helmick, for a while. He turned in a stem winder. And then they brought up a woman who is running for the office being vacated in the state auditors. And again, that's a state-level, statewide position. And she gave a rousing stem winder that had all the people hoorahing real good. And along came, that one's supposed to be on. And along came John Perdue, the state treasurer, who hoorahed the audience. But the real gem, the real diamond in the dung, was none other than recently registered as a Democrat, Democratic nominee for governor, Jim Kunta Kinte Justice. I've got a little video that I snagged on my phone because he was moving along in his speechifying, and at one point he said, "Sometimes I ask the good Lord." The good Lord got a lot of play in this speech. "I ask the good Lord why things are the way they are." And man, I got my phone up there and I hit record because I was just sure we were going to get the Kunta Kinte speech. You know, the one where he says, "I ask God, why is things the way they are?" And God tells me, "Jim Justice, I made you Jim Justice and not Kunta Kinte for a reason. Because you got to make things better." And he had a pretty rough time of it. But he didn't. Apparently someone has gotten to Jim and said, "Listen, Jim, ixnay on the unta k inte k ori stay. It's acist ray."
"It is?"
"Es yay." But I have never seen Jim Justice, big fella. I have never seen that much stupid crammed into one suit. Dear God. And he took to talking about himself in the third person, referring to himself as, you know, "If Jim Justice tells you this, Jim Justice will do that." And I kept going, "I thought you were Jim Justice. Apparently you're the Queen of England." And a whole bunch of people, most of them Bernie supporters, walked out on old Jim Justice. Because, again, when it comes to being much in the way of a Democrat, Jim Justice isn't. So, the hoorahing and the speech-making finally came to a close. Mercifully. And we got down to the business of conventioning. The approval of a platform. Hey, thank you very kindly, Jeremy in Vermont. Jeremy in Vermont just got us started. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy. Got us started on fundraising for the evening. We got $195 to go now in fundraising. Thank you for opening the door, Jeremy. Thank you very much. Note coming in relative to my experience with Methtel 6. Steve, a member of the Trinity of Steve, says, "Motel 6? Yeah, that's what happens when affordable housing disappears nationwide and all your decent temporary accommodations turn into the housing of choice for the urban poor. I hear D. Trump got his start that way on a massive scale back in the crazy 80s. It's been a very successful program for capitalist America. And just try to find any affordable hotels in San Francisco, for example." Ooh, I know that. And, you know, I'm, you know, linoleum, schmoleum, it, whatever. I wasn't planning on spending a few days there, so it was fine. It was just a little, you know, when your big old silvery head is wet and you're heading to a meeting, you get, wait, where's the damn hair dryer? You, first world problems, right? Mm-hmm. But anyway, we got down to the business of passing the platform. And we were cruising along, you know, debating, a little bit of debate. Robert's Rules of Orders were in effect, and the group seemed to be handling it pretty cogently. And we did things like passing a consent plank to the platform, stating that it was the sense of the Democratic Party of the state of West Virginia that consent in a sexual relationship was an ongoing thing and not a one-off, and that no didn't mean yes, and that any time no was uttered, it was over. And I felt pretty good about that. We tucked in some language in the law enforcement part of the platform calling for the, not the decriminalization, but the legalization of recreational, industrial, and medicinal cannabis, which was a big deal. Oh, we were rocking and rolling. We were moving along. We were talking about health care and access. We called for universal single-payer health care in the platform, and everything was going just great until the platform plank regarding, and this was under the good government section of the platform, which was right in front of the environmental section of the platform. I had my own little plans for that. I was going to try to get past a platform plank calling upon the Congress of the United States to pass the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act and end the Appalachian apocalypse of mountaintop removal. And should the Congress pass the same, calling upon the President, whomever that might be, to sign the same into law. This did not happen. Why? Well, see, right as we got to the part about the superdelegates, where we were calling for for proportional representation of the voters of this state via the votes cast by the superdelegates. Well, you need to understand that being Democrats, well, it's like the old Will Rogers thing. I am not a member of an organized political party. I'm a Democrat. What he said in the 1920s or 1930s remains true to this day. Well, people had taken to wandering out of the meeting space, which was a part of the a hall in the a ballroom in the Charleston Civic Center. And people were wandering in and wandering out and smoking out in the parking lot with the sinners, and a whole bunch, about 80 of our number. And there were 940 of us to start in the morning. This was very specifically pointed out at the beginning of the proceedings for what became obvious reasons. Well, people had wandered out, and it was clear that the room was not as full as it had been either the night before or earlier in the morning before a rock-solid 2 hours got wasted in hoorahing the attendees by elected officials who were not going to not be voted for, with the exception of Jim Justice, by those in attendance. It was a sermon delivered to the choir, to say the least. And so, just as we got to the superdelegate's part, lo and behold, as if dropped, suspended from strings by a deus ex machina, as in the Greek theater of old, lo, yea, verily, a woman named Misha Poor stepped to the microphone and said two little words. Quorum call. And those two little words will stop everything in its tracks. Because under Robert's Rules of Order, a quorum call is not debatable, not commentable, not challengeable. It's magic. All debate on everything stops. Time stands still in order for the chair to, and the chair must then ascertain the presence of a quorum in the body. Now, that quorum would have been 40% of 940 people. So, four times, about 376 people. Did I mention that Misha Poor was a diehard, is a diehard Hilarian? Uh-huh. She sure was. And so then the wrangling went on, and the chair seemed disinclined to even afford time to go out and round up people so they could respond to the quorum call. Now, we've all watched C-SPAN, haven't we? A clock starts running when you have a quorum call. Maybe that's just Congress's rules. But the thing is, had the quorum not been established, everything's over. Everything that had been voted to on up to that moment, dead. Dead in the water. Didn't happen. And so eventually, Misha Poor stepped back to the microphone after she had done the bidding of the Manchin and Hillary faction and thrown the assemblage into chaos. And withdrew her quorum call, which she couldn't do. And there was then a vote by a body that wasn't sure it had a quorum as to whether or not she should be allowed to withdraw her quorum call. And eventually her quorum call was withdrawn. At which point another Hilarian stepped to the microphone and said simply, quorum call. So then it was back on. And then upon being notified, the folks upstairs in the executive committee meeting declared that, did you ever play baseball when you were a kid and you didn't have enough to form a full team? And so you'd have a ghost man. Like if you stood to bat and you hit a single, and then somebody else hit a single, and somebody had to come back and bat, you'd have a ghost man on third. Well, we had 79 ghost delegates to make up the quorum. And so, with our ghost quorum, it was then decided that we would not, that we would leave the rest of the platform stand and just vote generally and boom, platform. Really. And we did go on to resolutions. And I am proud to say that that there was a resolution passed. There was a superdelegate resolution passed. And then there was a mountaintop removal resolution passed. A determined young woman had been circulating a petition during the previous evening and had gotten the requisite number of signatures in order to bring it to the floor. And it was a broadly worded resolution calling for a moratorium on existing and future mountaintop removal permits and for an economic just transition for Appalachia. I am proud to tell you that I stood and spoke in favor of the resolution. Received a standing ovation for my remarks. And then, unlike any other resolution presented that day, the anti-mountaintop removal petition resolution was passed unanimously. And I might add, historically. Shortly thereafter, we gaveled, the convention was gaveled closed. But meanwhile, there had been an epic screwing go down in the state executive committee meeting. A young man by the name of Chris Regan from the Northern Panhandle, a Bernie supporter, had served for the last year as the vice chair of the state Democratic Party. He was running for chairman. He was running against Joe Manchin's hand-picked creature, an old woman by the name of Linda Biafori, who is part of the Manchin machine. Chris Regan went into that meeting poised to become the new chairman. He came out purged from the Democratic Party leadership. Oh, Anatole asking in the chat room, how'd the vote on fracking go? There was an anti-fracking resolution as well. It received some pushback, but it too passed. But they ran the Democratic Executive Committee by a combination of skullduggery and just plain dirty pool. I mean, they were presenting vote proxies that weren't even signed, okay? They had a so-called test vote that showed Chris Regan winning by 10 votes. When the real vote came around, he lost. So he is gone from the power structure of the state party. And in fact, the state party, the state party leadership that lost the House and Senate for the first time in 80 years, that lost the Attorney General's office, that lost the Supreme Court, that lost a Senate seat that had been held by a Democrat since God was a baby, that lost all three House seats, was returned to power, and will do precisely not jack shit to advance the principles contained in the platform that was passed. There are a lot of bad feelings in the Democratic Party of the state of West Virginia right now. lot of people talking about, you know, getting out of the Democratic Party. Screw them, you know. But as Gerald just said to me in a note, I've decided to stay in the party, and I'm going to run for county executive committee. Perhaps I can make a difference that way. God knows. God knows. Yes. And that's what has to happen. The only way change comes is by staying in and participating in the struggle. Running off in the weeds and No. Nothing happens that way. So that was, you know, that was my weekend. And I guess I went ahead and talked about what I'd intended to talk about after all. So, that's where things stand here. And I'm going to try to continue to participate. Now, going forward, the County Democratic Executive Committee meetings are on Thursday evenings. Damn it. So somewhere along the way, that probably means I'm going to be disappearing for one thorn in the side Thursday per month. Hope y'all will understand. So we kind of got that out of the way. And I'm sitting here looking at my various tabs on my screen. And I'm really wishing I had a funny little story about a girl, little girl, maybe about 4 years old, in a cute little summer dress with a little floppy hat, holding an ice cream cone out to a squirrel. I ain't got one of those. Instead, this being a Moran Monday, I have a mass murder. Instead, this being a Moran Monday in Merca, the greatest country in the world, in the universe, now, today, forever, amen, under God, I got a mass murder. I got a mass murder. I don't have a mass murder. I got another mass murder. Yeah, Wolverines. I got another mass murder. I got another mass murder that features Christians crawling up on the cross, hooting about the Muslims, while those self-same Christians have been screaming for the bloody deaths of the people who got mass murdered for years in the first place. I got a mass murder. You know where? Orlando, Florida. Lost in all of this is that there had been a previous murder in Orlando, Florida, as a young woman who had achieved some degree of fame on a program that I have never seen called The Voice, got herself murdered. That's wrong. Don't say that, Bob. Was murdered by some obsessed male, apparently. But that got lost in the blood of the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. And where do you begin? What is there to say that hasn't been said? Now, if you pay attention to right-wing media, you are supposed to be scared, Bruga, Bruga, scared, Bruga, of the asses. I mean, after all, it was just last week. I had the story. I never got around to it. The ISIS people are out there working day and night trying to hack into databases of Merkins so they can know who to go and kill. Last week, they released a kill list of people whose names they had discovered in a database of the, have I got this right, Haley? The Arkansas Library Association? Yes, yes. ISIS, there in the Middle East somewhere, using the interweb tubes, you know, it's not a big truck, it's a series of tubes, announced that they have gone to war with librarians in Arkansas. Really? And so we're all supposed to be mortally pants-filling, terrified of ISIS. I don't know about you, but I'm not. No. You know who scares the shit out of me? The single largest, most powerful terrorist organization on planet Earth. That's who scares me. The National Rifle Association terrifies me. The National Rifle Association made certain that I can't feel safe anywhere in the state of West Virginia because any yahoo in this state who is over 21 and has the money to purchase it, can purchase and conceal a firearm and carry it virtually anywhere. I walk in somewhere to get a hamburger, there might be a concealed weapon carrying a yahoo behind me, in front of me. Don't know what kind of day they've had. They might be pissed off at the Muslims or that Obama Kenyan Muslim, or you get the idea. They've done that in a lot of states. But what the National Rifle Association loves more than anything else is the AR-15 semi-automatic warfare rifle. The NRA has such a stiffy for that rifle that they tweet about it all the damn time. Have you ever hunted with an AR-15 rifle? Try it. You'll like it. I I don't know what kind of dumbass would hunt with an AR-15. I don't know what kind of clueless hunter needs 100 rounds to take down Bambi. And believe me, believe you me, I don't get all I don't get all dewy and misty over deer either. Rats with antlers. Tasty, but obnoxious. You drop $1,000 into putting in a garden sometime and watch the deer eat it over the course of one night and see how you feel about them. But if you need 50 rounds, if you need to melt the barrel trying to take down Bambi, you really probably ought not be in the woods. Most of the deer hunters I know, they get the deer on shot number one because the deer is gone by shot number two. Because they move faster than, say, the Kennedy motorcade. If you hit a pheasant with an AR-15 round, you're not going to have anything left but a cloud of feathers. Pretty much the same thing for a wild turkey. Don't have a lot of buffalo to hunt in this country anymore. And really, the caliber of an AR-15 round isn't what you want for taking down your average elephant or rhinoceros. Why you want an elephant gun if you are so sick that you feel the need to, you know, kill an elephant. Last night I shot an elephant in my pajamas. What an elephant was doing in my pajamas, I'll never know. God bless you, Groucho Marx. May the goddess of irony reward you with all the whoopee cushions and rubber chickens that your heart may desire. So, no, there's really not much to enjoy about hunting with an AR-15 rifle. Why is the AR-15 America's most popular rifle? Well, you can make it even cooler by adding a silencer. Get to know your AR-15 rifle, and it'll treat you well. NRA instructors will give you advice. Good Friday, good follow Friday morning, folks. I've been missing my AR-15 this week. What were you missing? Ooh, my loved one who was killed with an AR-15, maybe. Step one, buy a great AR-15 rifle. Step two, get to know it. Accompanied by a photograph of a long line of white folks, white men mostly. Son of a bitch, one of whom is wearing a hat with the West Virginia Flying WV logo on it, of course. I mean, if you really, really love to hunt, you're going to get excited about a Steyr. Or maybe a Browning with a stainless steel barrel and a synthetic stock and a glass beaded bed to provide stability to the rifle barrel and a bolt action and really probably no more than 3 or 4 rounds capacity. How would you like to win a Daniel Defense AR-15? We're giving away two! Only a few hours left to enter the NRA giveaway for a chance to win an AR-15 from Daniel Defense. Courtesy of NRA News, New York church congregation doubles in size for AR-15 giveaway, and pastor makes a surprise announcement. Imagine that. A church doubled its membership because people wanted to win a gun so they could follow the Prince of Peace. NRA President David Keene compares the AR-15 to the muskets in homes at the time of the American Revolution. Yeah, let me know when that AR-15 comes with a ramrod and balls and patches and shot and powder and... Hey, look at Glenn Beck's new custom-made AR-15 rifle and the inspiring gun manufacturer behind it. She's long tan and loves left-handers. Sometimes you just want to be able to say, I built it myself. Building your own AR-15 is rewarding and fun. It's more than just a gun. You can learn to improve your shooting skills with the AR-15 in a fun environment. What better way to celebrate your birthday than by purchasing an AR-15 birthday cake? The AR-15 is more accurate than you think. Yeah. Oh, by the way, as Carol Baker points out, one of the most sickening aspects about Orlando is that some of the dead there won't have anyone to claim their bodies because they're good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian families. Disowned them, threw them out of their families, declared them non-people, committed what the Romans called damnatio memoriae, damnation of the memory. And this is just the tip. Of a really putrid, disgusting, rotten, revolting iceberg. As Brother Usher Steve in New York says, the AR-15, they aren't talking about hunting animals. They're talking about hunting people. So we're going to open up the phone lines. You know the numbers. I think I've got the stress line working again, 304-663-4676. That involved a little bit of swearing over the weekend. 304-663-HORN. You can also reach the program and the rest of the community at 304-574-8178. From anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype. Bob Kincaid Horn will get you right into the program. Scott in San Diego says, David Keene, now there's a name from my past. In the late 60s, in my early teens, I had a Washington Post newspaper route in my neighborhood, and Mr. Keene was one of my customers. As I recall, he worked on Vice President Spiro Ted Agnew's staff, somewhere deep in the bowels of the old executive office building, next door to the White House. Yeesh. And a reminder, just so as not to get into a hole that's big enough to have its own zip code at the beginning of the week, we've got $195 to raise in about, the next 60 minutes or so. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Okay, this is the picture. Johnny's being hurt. He's hurt bad. We gotta leave him here, honey. We gotta. He won't talk. I promise you that. Will you, Johnny? Are outside. Ruka's in the car. Come on, let's get the hell out of this joint. Listen, we got $3 million. Listen, Smug, we got $3 million in the can here. No way after him. I'll send the bird to his mother. Come on, let's just get out of this place. We can do it. Okay, now, just lean up against that door. When I give the word go, we just go for it and blast at the same time.
Between the eyes.
you've got me in it. What about her?
Don't worry. Very magnanimous. Magnanimous indeed.
You mean, you are, aren't you make us an offer? We can't refuse?
Day of June 2016. There really wasn't any time travel involved earlier in the program. I don't know. That tune just seemed somehow appropriate. It's based on a, you know, it's basically an homage to 30s and 40s gangster movies, The Friends of Mr. Cairo by John Anderson and Vangelis. But I was just trying to figure out some way around. Or some way to segue, I guess, into what I presume we're going to have to deal with. I took a call from a person who wouldn't identify himself, who had been calling all during the first hour. You know, I seldom open the phone lines during the first hour. Took a call during the break. Couldn't get the person to even give me a first name. But nor to take much in the way of a breath, even, but was extremely wrought, agitated, shall we say, that I said that the guy running for attorney general gave a good speech Friday night. Yeah, well. Or was angry that I criticized Misha Poor for doing the bidding of the Manchin faction. When the question of superdelegates came up. Oh, well, you can't please everybody. Sometimes you can't please anybody. But at any rate, we kind of, you know the details. You know that a man armed with at least a couple of high-capacity magazines and an AR-15 went into the biggest, most apparently the biggest, most popular gay nightclub, dance club in the Orlando area Saturday night and into Sunday morning. And thanks to the National Rifle Association and the members of Congress whom they purchase and who have the common decency to remain bought. And thanks to the Second Amendment, 50 people, by one person with one firearm, 50 people had their lives stolen from them. And at last count that I read, 53 more were wounded in degrees ranging from critical to superficial. It's 103 human beings by one person with one very effective firearm. We seemed to have a pretty cogent understanding of the event until the name of the shooter was released. early on, we had an understanding that the man had apparently seen a couple of men kissing in public in Miami, and that he had become incensed, enraged, infuriated by what he saw. And that in a country where practically every day some member of the religious community offers up another whopping big dose of hatred for people they deem to be different from them because of how they love other people, that this person had been driven into a well-planned homicidal rage. That all went out the window when we learned his name, when we learned his ethnicity. Well, I mean, truthfully, there wasn't much to learn about his ethnicity. He was American. Just like the shooter in that place that Rafael Eduardo Cruz, father of the anointed future king of America, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, booger-eating anointed future king of America, referred to as San Bernardino, was an American citizen. It turned out that Omar Mateen, thank you, Jeremy, had more than his assault rifle. He also had a pistol. And may have been wearing a bomb vest that didn't go off or something. Things are not abundantly clear, nor will they be for some time. But everything went out the window once the fact that his name was Omar Sadiq Mateen became known. Suddenly, it was an act of war. Not against the gay community, not against the LGBTQQQ community, but against Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world, in the universe, on earth, now, today, forever, amen, under God. And it was particular, no one should be surprised by this, because America's evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, believing Christians will take any opportunity to jump up on the cross and make it about themselves. Do you remember when Dylann Roof attacked Mother Emanuel Church, and the next thing you knew, Mike Huckstraby and former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson And the rest of that filthy crowd were climbing over top of each other to get up on the cross and get the first nail into their own palms? Oh my God, it was an attack on Christianity. When in point of fact, it was an attack levied against people of color because they were people of color and their location was a convenience insofar as they were gathered together in that church in Charleston, South Carolina. Well, lo and behold, the same thing has happened again. Time after time after time. Now, Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick says that it was an entirely accidental. Just scant hours after the massacre in Orlando, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick took to the Twitter and tweeted, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." Yeah. Here's the here's the excuse. They said his staff said that post was pre-scheduled, and it was unrelated to what happened in Orlando. And, well, it was unfortunately timed. Now, when they issued that non-apology apology, they also included a link to his campaign website. And that website has an anti-trans petition splash page. And then Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick got out his trusty ladder and scrambled up onto the cross and said that he was receiving hateful comments for his tweet about how God, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked, a man reaps what he sows. He was getting hateful comments. If some insist on hate speech as a response, that is their decision, not mine. The enemy is ISIS, not each other. We must come together to fight them. ISIS believes in the killing of gays. America does not, and Christians do not. Let's focus on the real enemy. More on that Christians do not part later. Yeah, I know, Carol. Carol notes, you want things abundantly clear? What, when the media can just speculate and get the gun humpers all stiffed up to go kill them some terrorists? Uh-huh, I know. Because there was that one precious little moment when bless his heart, little Joke Toad over there on the NBC, trying to say something intelligent or rational about what happened in Orlando, said, and I quote, "This is unfathomable." How thick is that goddamn bubble you live in, Joke Toad? There's nothing unfathomable about what happened in Orlando. It's 110% fathomable. Utterly fathomable. Completely fathomable. Totally fathomable. Absolutely fathomable. It's its own fathom. What happened in Orlando was two things: predictable and preventable. But not to the millionaire class in the for-profit media. Because you can't sell soap on predictable and preventable. You can only run up the profits on Unfathomable. Or, oh, what's that other word? Inconceivable.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
You know, somebody needs to have that clip, just like I've got it handy here. Somebody needs to have that clip handy for your Sunday shows, for your George Snuffleupagus and your joke toads and Al, et cetera, ad nauseum. It was predictable because you can't hardly turn on a news channel in this country without the network sticking a camera in some religious fundamentalist's face so he can talk about how all our women folk is going to get raped in the potty, even though that has not happened. None of our women folk have been raped by the transgendered hordes there in the Target bathroom, or anybody else's for that matter. Now, to be sure, trans folk who have gone into, say, you know, a transgendered person dressed as a female who goes into the men's room, those people have been beaten within inches of their lives time after time after time after time after time after time after time, but not the other way around. But the precious little Christians, the precious little God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist Christians, well, it's all about them. But the minute that Omar Mateen turned out to be Muslim, the minute that it was breathed out into the media atmosphere that he pledged allegiance to ISIS while he was on the phone in the middle of the killing spree and talking to the authorities. Hey, by the way, what does the Pledge of Allegiance to ISIS sound like? Did that when news was bruited about, did that strike you as a little bit discordant? And so what if he did? I'm doing this for the ISIS. How does that have any meaning? I'm kind of stumped. Carol Baker tells me that over on the ABC, I think it's the ABC, I think it's the Mouse, Jake Tapper used the word horrific 26 times in a single hour. Carol says, I counted, screaming. And then, oh my God, there was George Snuffleupagus doing an interview with the mother of one of the missing, who turned out to be one of the dead. It was one of the most awkward, uncomfortable, ugly, nasty pieces of broadcasting I think I've ever witnessed. If George Snuffleupagus had an ounce of common human decency, he would have said, ma'am, I'm sorry. We're not going to put you through this. We'll find something else to, we'll find some other way to approach the issue and the topic. But we're not going to sell soap on your grieving back right now. As for Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick tweeting, a man reaps what he sows. Brother Usher Steve in New York says, you mean those people in Mother Emanuel had it coming? What about those people in New Orleans during Katrina? Can I say that the next time a tornado hits some Christian town in Kansas? No, that's inexplicable. When God does that to good Christian people, mighty and mysterious are the ways of Almighty God. Oh, but when he causes somebody to go in and shoot up a nightclub full of gay people, well, that's a different story. Steve adds, when I heard about the massacre, I went numb. I just wasn't surprised. I was surprised that I wasn't surprised. Something like this should surprise us because it should be rare. I'm out of surprise, Steve says. I'm out of and over vigils and memorials. Why? Until we actually start talking about this violent culture and guns, memorials, vigils, and demonstrations are meaningless. Bob, this is not about LGBT people. This is not about the ISIS. This is about this violent culture and its fetish with guns. That's all. Nothing else. And once again, I refer to the good, decent people of Australia, who moved with surprising speed and admirable intelligence after the Port Arthur massacre, because they didn't want another Port Arthur massacre. To the LGBTQQQ community, I say I'm sorry, I grieve. I ache with you. But in the world of reality, if gunning down 20 little children with the same kind of rifle didn't stop us, didn't even slow us down, this isn't going to either. Not a member of the gay community. I'm just an American. And I'm not kidding when I say that I thought again over the weekend about what it would be like or what chances one might have if one applied for asylum to a country that had rational policies on firearms. Because, you see, in the United States, if you disagree with the idea that everybody needs a gun, if you think that there is something fundamentally uncivilized and decidedly dangerous about having to take your life into your own hands to walk into the goddamn Walmart because anybody can pack heat concealed now, well, you are a politically oppressed person in this country. You're not just on the losing side of a debate. You are actively oppressed. And there is little to no chance of that oppression abating. And this. I hate it. Well, don't even preface anything under these circumstances with a phrase like that. Wait, email. Bob in Texas with a note. Subject line, right-winger's wet dream. How many right-wingers have fantasized about mowing down every gay person with guns a-blazing? Answer, lots. Maybe millions. Because, see, that's part of Make America Great Again. That's part of what we've heard for the last 8 years of Take Our Country Back. Words mean things. And when they want to take their country back, yes, there's a racist component. They want to get back to a nice white America with a nice white president. But they also want an America where they can't see gay people. Where they can't see trans people. Where they don't have to worry about ever seeing the bare breast of a mother feeding her child because, well, that's disgusting. Where they don't have to hear from atheists, agnostics, free thinkers, and non-believers objecting to having Bronze Age commandments posted on the courthouse door. That's what that means. Sure it is. It was only 11 days ago when PBS NewsHour hosted a town hall forum in Elkhart, Indiana. Elkhart, Talibandiana. There's no campaigning going on anymore. But on June the 2nd, President Obama, it was him, a microphone, a chair, and a room full of Talibandianans. And he answered questions from them. And moments like this, I realize that there is not enough money on this planet to pay me to do what he does and has done for the last 8 years. You see, there in that town hall meeting, in what I'm sure was a scripted moment, a guy named, appropriately, Doug Rude stood up with his question. Doug Rude is a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, ammo-sexual, gun shop owner. He asked that one in our White House, that Kenyan Muslim, you slurper. Why it was he wants to control and restrict and limit gun manufacturers, gun owners, and responsible use of guns and ammunition instead of holding the bad guys accountable for their actions. This, to a shocking degree of prescience, was the answer that President Barack Obama gave.
At no point have I ever proposed confiscating guns from responsible gun owners.
Because he hasn't. 8 years. 8 years the NRA has been pouring poison into the otherwise empty head of its members, empty heads of its members, telling them, oh, that Obama's going to come for your guns any minute now, and have driven the price of firearms and the price of ammunition through the roof and driven sales beyond the wildest wet dream expectations of the gun manufacturers. Nothing but marketing. And it doesn't, and the marketing scheme scam doesn't even require any facts.
At no point have I ever proposed confiscating guns from responsible gun owners. So it's just not true. What I have said is precisely what you suggested, which is, why don't we treat this like every other thing that we use? I just came from a meeting today in the Situation Room in which I've got people who we know have been on ISIL websites, living here in the United States, U.S. citizens, and we're allowed to put them on the no-fly list when it comes to airlines. But because of the National Rifle Association, I cannot prohibit those people from buying a gun. This is somebody who is a known ISIL sympathizer, and if he wants to walk in to a gun store or a gun show right now, as many weapons as ammo as he can, nothing's prohibiting from doing that, even though the FBI knows who that person is. So, sir, I just have to say respectfully that...
Eat shit and die? No, no such luck.
There is a way for us to have common sense gun laws.
Respectfully, Mr. President, there is not a way for us to have common sense gun laws. Not so long as the National Rifle Association exists. Not so long as the National Rifle Association is able to pour an almost unlimited amount of money into the coffers of politicians to do their bidding. Do you remember the central tenet of the Citizens United decision? Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote I'm pretty close to on this, I think. The giving of political donations does not give rise to a presumption of quid pro quo corruption. He said this as monkeys were flying out his butt. My junior senator in West Virginia, for instance, Shelley Moore Capito, according to something I saw yesterday that Agnes provided me, has taken close to $100,000 from the National Rifle Association, who gave her that money out of the goodness of their hearts and never expecting her or even wanting her to vote in a particular way. It was entirely a coincidence when she voted the way she did against those common sense gun laws that President Obama mentioned. The National Rifle Association is a capitalist enterprise engaged in the business of selling guns. The more guns they sell, the happier they are, because the happier their clients are. And their clients are not their membership. Their clients are the people who make guns. You know, like Remington, the maker of the AR-15 that was used at Sandy Hook. The same Remington Arms who sought and received approval from Hillary Clinton when she was Secretary of State for an overseas arms deal worth tens, if not hundreds, of millions of dollars. Because, as Calvin Coolidge said, the business of America is business. Whatever that business, I'll add, might be. Of course, I realize that now that this clip of President Obama is out there, that it will give rise with that, it will doubtless give rise to Alex Jones screeching, "False flag, false flag." Oh, wait, he already did. No, really, he did. Please don't tell me you're surprised. You can't be surprised.
This gentleman was openly claiming responsibility, and he had been watched for 2 years. They knew he was about to do it, but were ordered to stand down, just like San Bernardino. And it took until later in the afternoon, 8-9 hours after everybody had gotten up and you know, knew about this horror, for the media to go, okay, it's Islamic terror. But Obama wouldn't say that. He said it's an attack on us all. Because an attack on a gay nightclub is just the heart of everything show, so it's an attack on us all. And my issue is I hate any group of people being attacked, period.
Yeah, we can tell, Al. Matt in San Francisco with a note says, people who don't understand that a bar is a safe place for us gays also have never had to worry about holding hands in public. Hate and fear have been winning for quite a while. Yeah, I got... there's a parade of ignorance. There always is after one of these. And you know what? There'll be another one tomorrow. And another one the day after that. And another one the day after that. I know, I'm a little ray of sunshine, ain't I? Yeah. But I was watching a report from RT, and I realized they have their biases. All media outlets do. But whoever was doing the reading pointed out that in raw terms, raw numbers, there have already been more mass shootings in the United States in 2016 than there have been days in 2016. How is this not a problem? How can you rationally make the argument that firearms have nothing to do with it? That it's because I was told by a sort of anarchist type person on my Facebook page, that we have to figure out what makes bad people bad first, that guns are only a tool. You know, just like an aluminum softball bat is only a tool. You'll notice the gay-hating preacher survived being whacked in his apparently very hard head with the softball bat. All tools are not equal. And describing an AR-15 as a tool and considering it in the same category as, say, a file. Yeah, let me know when the next Sunday morning you wake up to headlines saying that 50 people were killed in a gay nightclub by a man wielding a rat tail file. Do that. Carol Baker says, as a straight woman, many times I've accompanied my gay friends to gay bars because it's fun and the people aren't judgmental. And I've spun more than my fair share of lesbians around a dance floor because they were perfectly okay with me being straight. I understand why the LGBTQ community is terrified, and the GOP mouths can shut the fuck right up. They've wished for this to happen. They're not sorry. No thoughts and prayers for them. Not real ones, anyway. Case in point, Rafaelito Cruz, who, along with other Republicans, stood on a stage last year, or maybe earlier this year, with Kevin Swanson at the Religious Liberty Convention, or whatever he called it. And called for the execution of gay people. And those good, God-fearing, upstanding Republican politicians like Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed booger-eating future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really long time, nodded their little pointy heads and said, yes, praise Jesus. Back to Alex Jones for a minute.
But now we're going to hear the grandstanding and the LGBT training of the kids in school, and America did this, and this is part of the hate. This guy killed more homosexuals than every gay basher has done in the U.S. the last 50-plus years. I mean, there might be one death a year, and they act like it's the end of the world. Anybody else?
What in the sweet name of was that? I mean, there might be one gay gets killed in a year, and they act like it's the end of the world. Well, Alex, you soulless son of a bitch, it is the end of the world for the person who gets killed. But, of course, for the likes of you, it's just a slightly better day.
Gets mugged and killed. It's not even in the newspaper, hardly. But it becomes this giant cause celeb end of the world. The guy goes and does it, and you want my guns. And you'll use it to say, oh, there's all these crimes against gay people. Let us educate your kids so you would sexualize my children and indoctrinate them into your cult. And I'm not saying you're in a cult because you're gay. I'm talking about the gay mafia that's really a pedophile mafia in Hollywood and the rest of it that wants access to our kids.
Gay pedophile mafia. Isn't it interesting that Alex Jones is the only one who knows about it? How did he get the invite and nobody else did? Oh, and this, by the way, from Lee in New York City. Thanks for filling in for Mike this evening. My pleasure, Lee. Which I will be doing in about an hour and 10 minutes. Did you hear about Andy Holt from the Nashville Post? Holt to give away AR-15s at fundraiser. Now that people have complained that this door prize is not appropriate, State Representative Andy Holt has decided to literally double down I could give gun puns about being half-cocked or going after his objectors with both barrels, but it's probably too soon. It just shows that a significant number of Republicans do not have compassion for the victims and do not care about stopping or minimizing the next mass murderer. Respectfully, Lee in New York City. Well, I mean, if you kill one of them, it's like it's the end of the world. And you know what? That's million-dollar broadcasting right there. That's professional broadcasting. And it's not that different from Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh. Or, God knows, Brian Fisher. Oh, no.
And I'll tell you, I don't know who's worse, the pedophile mafia or radical Islam. But you know what? Radical Islam, they have sex with little kids anyways. That sex is legal. Oh, you can have, the Quran says, have sex with little boys all day long. You just don't have sex with men with men. I mean, what a freak show, man. So I guess that form of Islam, Orthodox Islam, I guess that is worse than the pedophile cult. So there you go. Because you're just out in the open with it. I mean, it's just, you actually start reading the Quran and the Hadith and all this stuff, it is mind-blowing. And I've bought copies from official Islamic publications. Official, certified. Sunni text. And it is freak show, folks. Freak show.
Well, if Alex Jones says so, it has to be true, right? Oh, well played, Bob in Texas. Subject line, gay pedophile mafia. Is he speaking about the Catholic Church? Kind of. I think he kind of was, but he just didn't realize it. By the way, representing Steve Cantaloupe's King up in Iowegia said via Twitter, at Steve King IA, Orlando shooter pledged allegiance to ISIS before he slaughtered dozens, shouting Allahu Akbar. We must defeat the ideology and pray for our dead, as if dead gay people are his dead. When he constantly rails against their very existence. After all, back in 2014, he said, I don't expect to meet gay or lesbians should I make it to heaven. Went off on a rant against gays and lesbians who wear their sexuality on their sleeve. And if there's any law ever put forward to protect people against hate crimes, people who happen to be gay, I will be no part of an affirmation of their lifestyle. Of all the many politicians who have responded to this horror, I think my greatest amount of respect goes to the member of Congress who said, I won't be going to any more vigils. Because it is an insult to the dead that we stand around and have 16 seconds of silence in the Congress of the United States and then do absolutely nothing to prevent the next one. 5 minutes left in the program, $195 in fundraising to go. But let's get a phone call in, shall we? Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Mark calling from Florida.
Hey, Mark, what's happening?
I just wanted to also chime in and say congratulations on being on Mike's show tonight. I have caught you on there before, and I do appreciate you doing the extra work for all of us. And also mentioning, obviously, this shooting is an international story. I just wanted to make a couple observations. I'm close enough to catch Orlando news from my location, and there are five patients still in grave condition, which was a fortunate prediction of mine. I also would like to share with the listeners that the shooter, when he had time, went back and shot people that were already laying on the ground. And when I heard the gunfire, not to be Mr. Macho, but having carried a gun enough to be tired of carrying guns, period, because they're very heavy over 26-mile marches, that he laid down with the people that he shot at one point, trying to disguise himself as one of the wounded or injured, and then apparently got up and tried to flee through one of those holes, I suppose the larger one with the bullet holes around it. And that's, you know, obviously where he got shot. And that the showing here, and it's also on national news, that he had been in a police academy, and for at some point, he was done with the police academy. They told him he had to go. I don't know based on what, but anyway, just a little insider trading notes that we get here locally. Maybe it's on CNN. I don't know. Chicken Noodle News, but it's just an unfortunate. And your impressions are all very much like mine. Be scared. Fear drives the day. And also, you know, the poor guy didn't know the difference between Hezbollah and ISIS or Al Qaeda or whatever. Not that I would, but they're not necessarily all on the same team. So kind of a confused guy. I also think he was a gay basher. I also think that he was possibly gay himself.
Oh, and, apparently you know. Apparently he had big closet problems.
That would be my
that's
impression.
All no, that's already and, that's already being documented. He'd been going to Pulse for 3 years.
Well, you know, on one of the websites, Bob, legitimate looking thing. One of his transsexual friends talked about knowing him prior to that and taking him to Pulse up to 3 years ago. So I think he's kind of a confused person, and I think he's just like I always comment on social media. Is he's American Mujahideen, really exemplar, and he's really who they are. And like you said earlier, he's just acting out. Like a person wrote into the show, he's acting out what's in the back of many people's minds, which is scary for the situation with this election we're in, with the amount of hatred is just hanging in a heavy balance.
Well, I mean, these people do fit a profile, Mark, and it's not necessarily a religious profile. Among other things, he was married in 2009. He was married only a few months before his wife's parents came and rescued her from him because he was abusive and he was unstable.
Yeah, and that's coming from another immigrant. You know, that's the Ukrainian girl who would probably you would think immigrants would want to put up with more stuff just to keep their life on track so they could make a little progress. So maybe she was willing to even put up with more than she's released to the public. Also would like to say to anybody that's listening that I am proud of the original off-duty cop that confronted him with a pistol. Taking on a rifle like that with a pistol is very dangerous. And so I thank that cop. And I'm not real proud of the SWAT team taking 3 hours to respond. I don't know why the confusion. They could have punched some holes in the building with that stupid tractor and waited and got their shit together. But anyway, there were three swipes at him, but the original off-duty cop took a lot of guts. So anyway, I'll listen to the Malloy show tonight, Mike, or Bob, sorry.
No worries, Mark. Good to hear from you, and thanks for the update. I appreciate it.
Yeah, semper fi.
Bye now. My buddy Mark, down in that neck of the woods. So, I'm going to end the program now so as to have time to get everything in order to do the Malloy program. I suspect, I wish it were otherwise, but I suspect we will probably be talking about this some more. Because, and I don't know, maybe you're better at this than I. There are other stories. I tried my best to at least update you on what happened this past week. But this... because of the amount of hate that is unleashed in the aftermath of one of these things, and the amounts of paranoia that are unleashed in the aftermath of one of these things, it's hard not to let it dominate the conversation. Maybe I'll just open the phone lines and let people share their own impressions. Maybe there's value in that. We shall see. But anyway, thanks for joining in for this More in Monday. I hope you found some value in it. And hope you'll join me in an hour over on Progressive Voices for the Mike Malloy program. Good night, y'all.